Heavenly Father, we thank you for Matthew. We thank you that you have called him, that he is your son. And Lord, we pray that tonight as he speaks to us, your words would be flowing through him and that he would be just reminded of all that you have done in his life, and his words would be a response to that and his offering of worship to you, and would they be building us up and drawing us closer to you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you so much. A real joy to be here with you tonight. I hope you're enjoying yourself as well. Well, tonight I'd like to speak to you about abundant life. And one of the reasons I enjoy being part of this community here is that sense of abundant life that we all have together. Maybe you've had a feel or a sense of something of that tonight, maybe in the worship, the music, or the community news, or that time that we just had, that sense of life springing up. And it's a remarkable community with people doing many remarkable things, using their minds, their talents, their strength, their energy to do incredible things throughout the week, a place where abundant life is springing up all around. These stories that we tell ourselves have a powerful effect on our imagination. I think we know about the power of these abundant story lives when we think of our social media accounts. Think of that time when you look at an amazing photo of someone just having the time of their life. Everything is epic, everything is going well, success just seems to be going their way. But have you ever had one of those moments where the next day you bump into said superstar, your friend, in town, and just in that brief encounter, you discover actually there's a lot more going underneath that social media post than meets the eye? Quite often, there is a deeper story at work behind the story that we like to tell. So a question for us tonight, a place full of abundant life, a question for you tonight: what stories are you telling about abundant life? What stories are you believing about abundant life? Well, I'd like to tell you a story because I'd like to try and make you think I'm a very sophisticated and cultural person. I'd like to tell you a story of an exhibition I went to this week, an Oxford University exhibition in the Natural History Science, Natural History Museum, something like that. Very clever and sophisticated it was. Anyway, why am I telling you about this and failing to do that whilst I'm trying? I'm telling you about it because it's an exhibition about stories. It's an exhibition called Settlers, and it tells the story of the DNA history of Britain. It's actually really interesting. So what these guys have done, the scientists, they've profiled the DNA of 2,000 people whose four grandparents all were born and lived in the same place that the person they profiled also now lives and was born. So, i.e. families that have lived in the same place for a number of generations. And then they start to group all of this DNA together, and they start to sift through it and put it into groupings. And once they find a group, they map that onto the United Kingdom, and this incredible map appears. Maybe you know some of the history of this, but the map first appears with the Orkney Islands as its own group. And apparently that's because they've got Viking blood up there. So they got Viking DNA up in the Orkneys. But more interestingly, perhaps kind of eastern Scotland, there's this area which they think is from Pictish kind of background 2,000 years ago. Or in Cumbria, there's a kind of a grouping around an Anglo-Saxon clan from 1,000 years ago. Down in Cornwall and Devon, there's people related to northern France and Brittany. There's these layers upon layers of history, stories upon stories happening here in the British Isles. All those 2,000 people were as British as can be, British back through the generations. Yet once you looked at the deeper story, once you looked behind what was immediately visible, you found a much deeper and more fascinating story behind what was presenting. So what is the deeper story around the questions that we tell ourselves about abundant life? What is abundant life, really? Here's a story Jesus, widely acclaimed to be one of the greatest storytellers of all time, tells us about abundant life. And it goes like this, John chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I tell to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and life in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." If you had to tell a story about abundant life, what would you found it on? Perhaps you'd found it on a happy story of a healthy family, perhaps financial success, perhaps academic glory, perhaps an epic party filled with drugs and alcohol and prostitutes and everything that the world can throw at it, this abundant life, kind of a hedonistic kind of lifestyle. What would you found your story on abundant life? And so what do you make of Jesus' tactics here? Because let's face it, one of the world's greatest storytellers of all time has just told us about the fascinating topic of abundance life and chosen sheep as his main way to do that. Even for a first century Jew, it's rather an odd choice. But don't phase out yet. There is hope, because the Bible is kind of refreshingly honest, really. Because did you notice that golden statement in the middle? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Be encouraged. It's not just us that maybe don't understand what Jesus is saying. His own followers did not know often. So why is that? Why were Jesus' followers not understanding what he was saying about the sheep? Why does it seem so mysterious and hard for us to understand? Well, I think we need to look a little bit deeper, to peel back some layers and to see the story behind the story. You see, Jesus isn't really a 140 character storyteller. He's much deeper than that. He's deeply rooted into his own people's story. He's deeply rooted into his own life story. Like a Russian doll where you have dolls within dolls, Jesus tells stories within stories that we need to unpack. So we need to step back a little bit and take a look. There are so many places we could look from this story about sheep in the Bible, but here's one from the book of Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel was a guy who lived 600 years before Jesus, and he was considered a prophet. He has his very own book in the Bible, so he did well. It's a great read, but in chapter 34, it says this. "This is what the Lord says." So just to say, this is kind of like Ezekiel starting off really strongly here. He's kind of off to a running pace. He is a prophet. He knows it. He knows what to say. "This is what the Lord says." That's kind of the job description. "This is what the Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the fat. You clothe yourself in wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. Strong words from Ezekiel here at the start. Ezekiel with a word coming against the leaders of Israel at that time, saying that they are corrupt, they are greedy, they are self-indulgent, they are not paying any attention to their own people who they dismiss and leave in poverty. He continues, the weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, and the lost you have not sought. Still speaking against the leaders of the people, but does any of that language resonate with you? Does it remind you of someone else? He continues, so the sheep were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. Therefore, thus says the Lord, that's kind of like code for watch out, this is going to be a real slam dunk kind of point from Ezekiel here. He says, thus says the Lord, I myself, that is God, will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and I will rescue them. Not only will God rescue them, he goes on to say that God will feed them with good pasture and they shall lie down in good grazing land. So with this backstory, perhaps our own story, Jesus' story, starts to make a little bit more sense. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus, the good shepherd, comparing himself to the bad shepherds of Ezekiel. Jesus, the one who does not care for his own gain. In fact, he doesn't eat the fat, clothe himself in wool, but he lays down his own life for the gain of the sheep. The bad shepherds of Ezekiel do not heal the sick, bind up the injured, or look for the lost. Jesus spends the entire book of John doing just these very things. And Jesus, this is the biggest statement of all, brazenly takes the position of God in Ezekiel's prophecy that God himself will be a shepherd to his sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, putting himself on a level with God. I find the depth of this story deeply compelling. But what of its application? What does it mean for us? Because Jesus is clearly claiming here that abundant life is to be found in him, that he is somehow the shepherd-like door watching over a sheepfold in which there is abundant life. The sheepfold then becomes some kind of driving metaphor for abundant life, with Jesus, the shepherd, the means by which we enter that life. He says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Now, the thing about sheepfolds here, let's kind of be real. I'm not sure if you've seen a sheepfold, but let's try and imagine it all together here. The thing about sheepfolds is they're not really that exciting or that attractive. Not really, especially on the outside. I mean, I'm kind of imagining a small, cramped space. I'm imagining a place that's rammed with sheep. Did anyone get that joke there? Oh, yeah, good. I worked hard on that one. It's kind of going to be full of probably sheep poo. It's not like an amazing place to kind of be, this kind of strange, obscure sheepfold kind of metaphor. But Jesus says, on the inside of this sheepfold, on the inside, there is wide pasture lands. There is a place of healing, of kindness, of care. This sheepfold is some sort of TARDIS-like thing. It's bigger and better. No, it's way bigger. It's way better on the inside than it looks on the outside. And that has been exactly my own experience in faith. As a child, I grew up in a Christian family, but on arriving to Oxford to study here at the university, my faith was completely redundant, completely meaningless. It meant nothing to me. So I set about doing life abundantly in Oxford and was really enjoying it. I was doing quite well in my grades, got a first in my prelims. I was involved in some great societies, so the Cross Country Club, the Expedition Club, that's a great one, not many people know about that one. Appeared in a couple of plays in my first year. Life was great. Life was maybe abundant. Perhaps I was happy. A knee injury over Christmas and cross-country dreams were gone for at least a term, so my Sundays, which were normally spent running, were suddenly opened. And a sneaky Christian friend, I only realized later how sneaky he was, a sneaky Christian friend said, "Why don't you come to church?" I thought, well, church, I've done church, I know church, I can do church again, yeah, why not? So I came in St. Aldate's, and it was a morning service. They didn't have an 8:15 back then, shame. And came in, and I sat about there, right on the back row. Yes, hey, mate. Sat right there, and I don't remember what happened in the service. All I remember is that I cried the entire way through the service. It didn't really matter at all what was happening up the front. I didn't mind what song they were singing. I don't mind if they were talking about the notices. I didn't mind if what on earth the preacher was on about. I don't remember any of that. It was nothing to do with that in a way. I cried my way through the service. Being someone who was completely ignorant of his inner world, I walked out of the doors at the end, shook myself up, and had this utterly unprofound thought, which was, that was kind of helpful. I think I remember reading somewhere that crying is meant to be cathartic. Maybe I can come back to church anytime in this next 3 years in Oxford as a good place to cry. And then cracked on with the rest of my Sunday. That was like it, pathetic, but that's what I thought. But something had begun inside of me. And later that term, the same friend or another friend invited me along to the OIQ talks that you just heard about. They happened last week, so this was a long time ago, but last week. And I thought, well, I've had this kind of strange emotional experience in church, and I couldn't explain that at all. And I thought, well, maybe it'll be useful to go to a lecture about Christianity and see how my mind responds to that. Maybe it might be of some help. And I found that, in a way, it was. The man there spoke about Jesus, about who he was, about what he had done and what he meant for our lives here and now. And I found it deeply interesting. And so I was in a quandary. I'd had this strange emotional experience, and now I was having this intellectual experience where I realized that I didn't understand what my emotions were doing, nor did I understand the intellectual basics of Christianity. And that was very frustrating to me, who thought he was in control and knew most things. So it set off a journey of discovery, of trying to find out about who this person Jesus was, this person who I'd heard about in school assemblies, but who I had never really met. And so what happened was four or five months of exploring this question, of exploring faith, asking difficult questions, of reading books. And then a moment came, which was kind of like, it was kind of like standing outside of a sheepfold and kind of peering in. It happened in university parks, so we were outside. There was grass, no sheep, but there was grass. And there was food as well. So that's one thing I learned quite early on, that with Christians, there's always food. And so I kind of exploited that to the max. And I didn't tell them about that, but I did quite well for a few months on that. And there was this I think it was a barbecue out in university parks, a barbecue. And then this guy stood up and spoke for about 7 minutes about the basics of Christianity, that Jesus was sent from God to reveal him to us. and that he died on the cross for us, and that we can put our trust in him and receive eternal life. A very simple message. And then he said at the end, that's the end of the message, that's the end of the meeting, but if you'd like to come and find out more, then do come along and have a chat at the end. It must be a prophetic sign of some sort, I can't think what. And so at the end of the meeting, I kind of had this moment where I was thinking, I feel like this is for me. I feel that what this man was talking about and saying about entering into eternal life, about entering into a relationship with God is for me. And it was kind of like this experience of being on the outside and peering in, about being on the threshold of something and being invited to take a step into something. And so I found myself taking a step of faith, having a conversation with the person who had spoken, praying and receiving Jesus into my life. That was 15 years ago. But it's a day that is embedded in my mind because for me, it was a day of abundant life. It was my story of abundant life. Here's some ways in which it was abundant life for me. It was abundant love. I still remember the morning after the day of that meeting in University Parks. I woke up in my Cats College room. It was staircase 9, room 15. Woke up in the morning, and I can remember my eyes opening that very morning and a thought dropping into my head, a thought that I'd never thought before. And it wasn't just a thought, it was a feeling. And the thought and the feeling was, I am loved. I'd never woken up with that thought before. But there was this sense of abundant love being poured into my heart. In Jesus, in his sheepfold, I'd stepped into a love that I couldn't explain. There was an abundant kindness that I was so aware of. I'd pushed God away for so many years. Yet, despite that, he had so kindly come to meet me in his Son. Amazing kindness. Abundant kindness of God. There was abundant family. This is one that still keeps me so motivated. I love it. But I realized that as I had entered into that sheepfold, there was a family of God that was around me. I had brothers and sisters with whom I shared nothing in common but this, that we loved God and had received the love of God. There was an abundant family in this sheepfold, as it were, of God. There was also abundant meaning. And this one has sustained me for many years. There was so much meaning in being part of God's family, in being part of his sheepfold. I wasn't unhappy previously, I wasn't bored, but perhaps my life didn't have that meaning. It was meaningful in a kind of every kind of day way, but it wasn't in a deep way, in a way that grabs you by the bones and shakes you up. It wasn't in a, wow, I'm blown away by that mountain vista sunset kind of way. Jesus, it turned out, brought me into an amazing place of meaning in my life. In the celebration moments, in the dark pit moments, in the dull gray moments, faith didn't make every moment sparkle, but it did infuse it with meaning which I wasn't expecting, and that's provided support and encouragement over the years. Abundant life. What is your abundant life story? A happy, healthy family? Amazing finances? Academic glory? A hedonistic party? What is your abundant life story? Jesus's story is about a sheepfold and a shepherd. It might not look promising on the outside, but here on the inside truly is abundant life. God has been promising and providing abundant life since before Ezekiel's time. In Jesus, the invitation is for all to enter into this way of life. A final thought for us to consider as we wrap up tonight. I've been talking a lot about entering in to the sheepfold and entering into abundant life that Jesus provides. But there's another layer, there's another meaning, another depth as well, because Jesus also promises to come into our life. He promises to enter into us and fill us with his abundant life. So it's not just a sense that we enter into him, he enters into us so that wherever we go in the world, whatever we do, we can have assurance of his abundant life. And that's something that we've been speaking about as a community for this past term. We've been looking at the subject of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ poured into us to give us abundant life. So that's something you are interested in. Really encourage you to come back and find out more about that. The Christian life is about abundant life. Jesus is about abundant life. This is something I simply didn't get when I arrived in Oxford. But then I met Jesus and he showed me it's true. It may be that some of you wish to do that tonight. Thanks so much for listening. Can I invite you to stand as we finish? Have a little shake around. Get that back moving from sitting down after a while. So as I was saying, it may be that there are some of us here tonight who feel that abundant life is what we desire. That abundant life in Jesus is what our heart is longing for. It may be that that isn't relevant for you tonight, that you've just started on that journey. I know for me it took several months. But perhaps if that's you, can I suggest that there is a way for you to enter into that life tonight? And it is simply through a prayer. The prayer is to reach out to Jesus, to trust in his abundant life, to lean on him, to look on him, to follow him. So if that's you, if you know that tonight is the night that you wish to enter into that abundant life that Jesus offers, can I invite you to pray along with me? And maybe for the sake of everyone else, if we bow our heads as we pray, why don't you join me in this prayer? Dear Jesus, thank you that you are the Good Shepherd. Thank you that through you, we can enter into abundant life. Thank you, Jesus, that you have made a way for us. Lord, that you love us so abundantly that you invite us in to your family, into your love. Lord, we're sorry that we have pushed you away for so many years. We're sorry that we have not accepted your invitation to come and join you. We thank you for your forgiveness, Lord, that you open a path of life for us to enter in. Would you help us now to enter into your life? Would you enter into our life? Would we know your abundance in us from this day forward? In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue with the rest of our service now and sing and worship. But if you prayed that prayer, perhaps like me at the end of the meeting, you'd like to come forward and just say, yes, that was me. Introduce yourself to me or one of the team in the black t-shirts. We'd love to get to know you. It's an important step on this journey of faith. But thank you so much for listening. And let's worship together now as we close.